The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
You mentioned something that I want to talk a little bit more about. You mentioned landlord-friendly states and that you were interested in investing in landlord-friendly states. And I scream from the mountaintops. Like, I really encourage people to strongly consider investing in landlord-friendly states that actually give you property rights, because in states that don't do that, we've seen what's happened over the last couple of years, and it's been horrible for some people, especially smaller landlords. What was your thought process behind that? Like, you were learning a lot, absorbing a lot. Why did you think it was necessary to do your best to focus on landlord-friendly states?
Yes, well, look, it was, through the education that I was receiving, just through the podcast, and shout out to you for screaming from the mountaintops doing that. I just read something this morning about some laws that in the state of California that were recently passed that do not give landlords, it actually takes a lot of privilege, not privileges, but, you know, control away from landlords, and it makes it a very tenant-friendly state, which we can go into, I'm sure. But what I learned by that, this is a business. It is not about price gouging or anything along those lines. When you operate a business, you want to be able to have an environment that is working for you as a business owner, and these real estate assets are businesses. We want to be able to work in places where and operate in places where they have a more tax friendly environment. We want to be able to operate in places that have an environment where we want to be able to keep pace with the market rents and based off of the demand that's occurring in the marketplace. Those are important things, and most importantly, if someone is not paying and their rent for whatever reason, of course we will try to work with them, or the operating team will try to work with them. But we want to, if they're not, then we need to remove those people and get someone else in that will pay the rent. And then on the flip side of that, there's the aspect of, focusing in on places that are growing. Mm-hmm. When in those landlord and business friendly states, there tends to be a very strong in-migration of jobs. Jobs and corporations, major corporations relocating from some of the more high cost areas, places like New York, like California, like Washington State, et cetera, and relocating to places like Texas and Arizona and Florida. And then where the jobs go, so do the people. The people and the in-migration of people have, that migration and population growth then, comes along and drives up demand for housing, not just, residential housing in terms of residential single-family homes, but also it drives up the demand for multifamily housing as well. And of course, that we're looking for that housing demand is so critically important, because if the demand is there, there's always going to be a supply of tenants that you need to have. And so as a passive investor, those were critically important things for us to focus on. And so we wanted to be in those spaces. And essentially, what I tell passive investors, it's about being able to stack the deck in your favor. What you're doing is you're putting yourself in an environment, in an investment environment that's going to be more favorable to you to make sure that your investment delivers on the returns that you are seeking out.
That makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. So it sounds like, as far as states to invest in, some of the things people should be looking at is just how seamless or not is the process of moving on from a non-paying tenant And really, to your point of stacking the decks in your favor, are the laws favorable to you and your outcomes?
That's right.
Like,
that's
can you increase the rents as needed? And how much red tape is there? You know,
so that's exactly right.
I hope people pay attention to that.
You have to pay attention to it. It's really so important. And you know, thinking about it in this idea, if you're in a situation where you have a tenant that is just sitting in your place, not paying any rent, and whether that's in a single family home or that's in a multifamily home, and you are going, you know, several weeks, months, a year in some cases, and to remove that individual or in their family from your property, that is several months, several thousand dollars potentially of lost rent. Not to mention the process that you had to invest legally with a real estate attorney to start to get that person removed from that process. So there's money coming out of your pocket in multiple ways. And this is just not a fair situation. And especially when there are other good people that are paying, mm-hmm. you know, paying on time and paying, you know, their rent and honoring their contract that they signed. This is what it's about. And so you want to make sure that your operators that are running these properties have the opportunity to remove those people that are not paying and put yourself in a situation. Again, it's about stacking that deck in your favor.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And, you know, I've said this before, and, you know, not everybody liked it, but it's not charity, right? Like, charity has its That's place, right. And it's important to be charitable. However, like, real estate is a business. Like, you're a business owner, you have bills, you have expenses, and the way this business works is that the income you receive for the service you're providing goes to the expenses, That's to right. the mortgage, tax, insurance, maintenance, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, real estate to me is like the only business where it's acceptable, or people think it's acceptable, to not pay for the service you're receiving. Because mm-hmm. you wouldn't go to the grocery store and not pay right. before you walk out with your groceries.
Right.
You wouldn't go and buy clothes and, I mean, you shouldn't, some people do, but you wouldn't normally buy clothes and just walk out and say, you know what, I believe that it's my right to have these clothes and I shouldn't have to pay for it.
Right.
That's not how it works. No. You know, and it's different if, you know, the tenant is trying to work with you, you work out some sort of arrangement, but there's some people who just don't care at all about it. And we've all heard the horror stories. Yeah. Like, some of us have experienced it individually or have family or friends and so forth who have. And, you know, I hope we get to a place where there's more balance on both sides, where people can really look at the landlord's perspective mm-hmm. for once, because, you know, even in a larger deal like the ones you're in, like, you don't know what people had to do to, like, get that money to become a limited partner and try to gain some income and some experience so maybe they could lead their own deal one day. Mm-hmm. Or on the smaller scale, like, if you have a single family, multifamily, whatever the case is, like, it takes work and sacrifice to be able to get the money to do it in That's the first right. place. So I think people should be a little more considerate and just, you know, it's a business. Like, it's a service. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a service business.
It absolutely is. And if people come at it with that mindset, I think that there will be a little bit more you know, respect, if you will, to mm-hmm. those business owners, those property owners around those things. Yeah, the income, and what's beautiful about the multifamily space is that, and what I tell people being a single family investor myself as well, is that when you have a single family asset and that asset is vacant or there's a tenant that is not paying, it is 100% vacant, or that tenant is 100% not paying their rent on time. Whereas in the assets that we're investing in, from a multifamily perspective, you may have 1, 2, 5, 10 people not paying their rent at that point in time, and these are maybe an extraordinary situation, but you know, for you know, working to get them removed, but it's not going to crush your deal. You have reserves, and you have your capital reserves, and the income of the property that are being generated from the other residents that are there will still continue to be able to service the debt on the property, as well as, you know, other income that's being provided. So on the multifamily side, it does provide some insulation just based off of the sheer number of people that are in the property. But either way, making sure that people are paying on time and people are paying what the market rents are is a critical part to the business plan. And so when we focused on investing in these assets as passive investors, this is really one of the key things that we wanted to be able to focus on, that we were able to invest alongside of investors that had those types of favorable environments alongside of them where we were investing, so that it can help ensure our greatest opportunity to get our return on investment that we were seeking out.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.